Wanted to discuss the halachas of kezias, how one defines a kezias as relates to kol tar kula. And it's the reason why we discuss this is because it comes up in the Gemara in Brachos, the Aflam and Tesem and Aleph. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah. The Mishnah appears in Maseches Kelim. Perek Yizayin, the Mishnah says, the zayis she'amru, the zayis that we refer to throughout all Shas, and says Rashi, throughout all different achilas, when it comes to achilas matzah, achilas maror, when it comes to machal sasur, eating something that's asur, the shir of a kezias is very simple. The Mishnah says, "Zayis she'amru lo katan v'lo gadol ela beinuni." The zayis that we refer to is not talking about a small olive. It's lama tesamar olive. You don't have to look inside. It's just very quickly outside. It's not referring to a small olive. It's not referring to a large olive. It's referring to a beinuni, an average size olive. If you look through the books, through you Google an olive, there are different grades, different sizes. So whatever an average olive is, same thing with eggs. They're different size eggs. There's A, double A, triple A. Whatever an average olive is, an average egg, that's what we're referring to. So it's very simple. You go to the store and you buy whatever average olive, and that's how you measure an olive out. So the problem with that is, in terms of using a kezias as an actual olive, as the shear of a kezias as it comes to achila, is based on the Yamshel Shlomo. Yamshel Shlomo says that the olives nowadays, Yamshel Shlomo, it's something that you don't have Mamar Komos with you, but the Yamshel Shlomo in Maseches Chulin, we learned this all week. I don't think we have any extra ones around here. But the Yamshel Shlomo writes in Maseches Chulin that the olives have decreased in size. And he explains the reason is because we know that Shivas Haminim of Eretz Yisrael were so big, they're beyond Teva. They were so large, and after Gullus, after we left Eretz Yisrael, they decreased if you want here. Steve has a copy if you want to see inside. So after Gullus, after we left Eretz Yisrael, the size of all the different Shivas Haminim, including olives, of course, have decreased. And it was Mishana HaBrios, the Brios have changed. And therefore, the olives that we have nowadays are not going to be sufficient in terms of measuring. So that's what the Yamshel Shlomo says. So therefore, you cannot use the olives of nowadays.
How does he know that?
He doesn't bring a riot for this, but he says it's Pashut. It's probably based on the Mishnah Sota that talks about after Gullus, all the fruits have changed sizes. He doesn't bring a riot for this, but that he says it's a Pashut Davar Yadua. Now, the olives have definitely changed now than when it was back in the times of the Gemara, times of Mishnayos. So still, nonetheless, the Shitas of the Gonin write in a number of the Tshuvas, that you're still allowed to use the olives that we have nowadays. It doesn't depend on what was when the Mishnah was written. When the Mishnah in Kalim was written and said that the zayis that you use is an average size zayis, that applies even nowadays. We don't care what they use then. Depends on what we have now. So go to the store, find the average size zayis, and that's good enough, even though it went down in size. No one said to use the zayis that existed then. You use the zayis that's in your times. That's what the Tshuvas HaGonim write. So you can go to the store, get an olive, and measure out the olive, and that's the size of a matzah, which would be a tremendous kula. Because if you just interpret this in fluid ounces, an average olive is a 1/5 of a fluid ounce, 0.2. As opposed to an egg is a full ounce, it's around 1 ounce. That's a big difference. Using an egg as a model, we'll see differences. An egg is a full 1 ounce, fluid ounce, and an olive is a 0.2, a fifth of an ounce, huge kula. So the Gaonim said you're allowed to rely on that. Rav Asher Weiss gave a shir recently, he also says, Mikir Din, you're allowed to rely on that. The Chazon Ish is quoted as saying you're also allowed to rely on an actual olive, Bizman Hazeh, but since he thinks so many poskim are machmir, he himself personally was machmir to have more than an olive, but he thinks me'ikar din you could be yotz with an olive. And that means if a person has a hard time eating matzah, whether they're old, they're sick, have a sensitive stomach, you could actually rely, based on Rav Asher Weiss and Chazon Ish, on an actual olive.
La'halacha.
Yeah, exactly. That's huge. I'm not saying this, but Rosh Hashanah, the Chazon Ish, it's huge.
Exotic,
yeah, and 100%. So,
he's good, I'm good, right?
So the question, depending how sensitive a person is, you could rely on an olive, Bizman Hazeh. So that's not what we encourage people to do, only if they need to. If they need to, then certainly you can rely on this. But again, a number of the Chazon Ish and Rosh Hashanah say, Me'ikar Din and olive, Bizman Hazeh, is sufficient. It's very, very small. Much less than what you guys were doing yesterday with all the different experiments. It's much smaller than that. Now, most poskim say we don't rely on that. Most poskim say we look at the olives that existed back in the times of the Mishnayos. And now, based on this Yamshel Shlomo, that the olives have decreased in size, how are we able to ascertain what it was then? We have no idea what it was then. The olives, it could have been 10 times larger. It could have been 2 times. We have no idea what it was. All we know is it decreased in size. So we therefore have to use a different model of how to measure out an olive. Yeah.
Different problem. If we're saying that we would rely on the size of a zayis of an olive in the times of the Mishnah, that's also cooler because he's saying that back then, that you know, before when we were still in Eretz Yisrael, that they were even larger. So in theory, you should not be able to rely on the size of an olive at the time of the Mishnah. You'd have to say, well, no, we have to try to ascertain somehow how large they were. Or we have to be even more lechomer and say, well, when in the time of Eretz Yisrael, when, you know, based on Midrash understanding, they were even much, much larger.
So I think when the Mishnah writes it, I think it's referring to at the peak. I think at the peak of the largest it had been when the fruits of Eretz Yisrael were the biggest. That's the size we're trying to figure out. So we don't know how to figure it. It's impossible to figure it out.
Why don't you say in the time of, it says in the Torah that they were carrying, you know, four or six, the Gemara says they were carrying a fruit.
But you still don't know how big they were, how strong they were, what they were able to carry. There's no way to figure out the actual measurements of the size of the grapes and the pomegranates and the olives. There's no numbers that we can work with. We know how many people carried, but we don't know, were the people big, were the people small? There's no way to know. So now we have another model that could be used, and there's a machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos. Now, it's very technical, but it comes out to be that the Tosfos thinks if you get an egg, and kazayis is a chatzi beitza. So an egg, at this stage, we're assuming the eggs did not change, only the shivas haminim, with the gullus of Eretz Yisrael changed, but things that were not shivas haminim, like eggs, did not change in size. So based on various calculations, Tosfos says that kazayis is half an egg. So if I take an egg and figure out the measurement of an egg, I could then take half that to figure out the shear of a kazayis. And the Rambam thinks, and based on other calculations, it's a third of an egg. So again, if I figure out the size of an egg, I take a third of that size, that's going to give me a kazayis. So I can no longer use a zayis anymore because that have went down in value, but the eggs seemingly have remained the same size. So I figure out an egg, it's either a half or it's a third will get to me the shear of a kazayis that I need. Shulchan Aruch paskins in Siman Tov Peivav, he paskins a shir kazayis. He quotes Yesh Omrim Dehavi Kechatzi Beta. All you need is a half a beta. So again, figure out an egg and half that. Mishabru quotes the opinion of the Rambam that it's a third of an egg. So again, same thing. You get measure out an egg and you take either a half or a third. And we're going to see when you could apply a half, when you apply a third. But that's right now using the egg as the model. You do a conversion from an egg into an olive, either using a half or a third. Now, how do you practically do that? How do you figure out the shear of an egg? So you guys did this yesterday in the experiment. The Shulchan Aruch tells us how to figure out the size of an egg. Very simple. Water displacement. He's talking about the shear of challah. So what you do is, you have a water with measurements, different lines, and you drop an egg in, and however much the water raises, that tells you the volume of the egg. So that's the size, the fluid ounces that you require for kazayis. You figure out the egg, it goes up, let's say, 2 fluid ounces. So half of that, 1 fluid ounce would be a kazayis, or a third of that would be a kazayis, depending how you paskin. It's a very simple solution, very simple experiment that the Shulchan Aruch says. Now, there are other shitas, but the Mishnah Berurah already says we don't do it based on weight. If you weigh an egg, so you have to now figure out the weight of a matzah. That he says not to do. Some say you can do that. We're taking the very simple approach of doing water displacement. That's how you figure out the size of an egg, and then from that you figure out either a half or a third.
It's far and due weight.
Some mention it's far and due weight, right. Even Ashkenazim due weight, they also do weight, but based on other calculations I don't want to get into, they sell these scales now that to get the actual weight. Because if you have the water displacement and you have the density, you could figure out, based on weight, get a more precise shear of a kazayis. But Medaktikin, the briskets really sit down and weigh everything beforehand to get actual kazayis. I did this 1 year. It was very, very tough. It's a tough way to spend Erev Pesach, just measuring out bags and matzah. Personally, I don't think that's the way Akash Baruch Hu wanted us to do things.
It takes away the joy.
I don't think it was meant to be the way. I heard Rav Weinberg also was very against all the weighing and the measuring. Either way, right? You estimate as best as you possibly can.
But he says just eat one of the round ones, and that's a kazayis, and then eat another one, and that's this.
We'll get to the actual some good practical.
Ones, I mean, we're talking.
Who says to eat a full matzah?
No man. Machine matzah,
right.
Maybe.
Right. We'll get to the actual side. We'll get to the actual practical advice.
Matzahs are very, very thin.
Yes, very thin.
You have to eat more of them.
Well, I'll get to some of that in a second. So now this approach that we're taking right now is you simply take an egg, you measure out the egg, and either half or a third gets you a kazayis. Now the problem is...
He said half around.
Right. Now the problem is it's a Gemara Pesachim. And this is a very technical discussion, but it's still very important. The Gemara Pesachim tells us, how do you get a revius? What's considered a revius on a deraisa level? So the Gemara Pesachim tells us, this is Daf Kuf Tetzam Aleph, says, very simple. You take two fingers, usually you use a thumb, thumbs are thickest, so you use two thumbs, by two thumbs, by 2.5 thumbs. 2.7 thumbs. So if, let's say your thumb is, I don't know, let's say an inch. So you do 2 inches times 2 inches times 2.7 inches, and whatever math, it's probably for probably 10 point something. I think 10.8 maybe, or whatever the measurement is. That's the square inches that you require for reviews. That's your reviews. And based on other Gemaras, we have other conversions to get from a reviews to bring us to a kezias. Okay? Now, using the model of fingers, we get a much larger shear than if you use a model of an egg. Now, there's obviously, then there's a problem. If eggs are supposed to be the model, and the fingers are supposed to be a model coming from two different directions, we're having very different amounts. That's the difficulty. So the tzlach, the Noda Behuda, picks up on this. Yes.
Yeah.
Noda Behuda, the tzlach is what he called, refers to his chidushim al shas, and Noda Behuda is what he refers to his tshuvas. So with the tzlach, he says, I did an experiment. He said he measured out his fingers, and then he measured out with the eggs, and it was off by twice, double the amount. So he says, one of two things happened. Either people got bigger, taller, fatter, larger, the fingers got much bigger than it was back then. And really, during the times of the Gemara, the fingers were skinnier, and it would match up to the smaller shear of a beta.
Wait, it's the thickness of the finger?
The thickness. The thickness.
So then, this is one dimension, and another dimension, and then 2.7, I mean...
Exactly. Correct.
So either people got bigger...
And people got bigger, and the tzlach's times, his fingers were very large, people lived much, much larger. Or... that the eggs shrunk, the fingers stayed the same the entire time, the past few hundred generations, few hundred years, I should say. The fingers remained the same width, but the eggs got smaller. That's one of two things that happened. So which changed?
I thought we said the eggs didn't get smaller, we thought.
Well, so now, that was what he assumed up until now. But Tzach created this problem. He said there's a problem. Using the eggs as a model versus the fingers, a huge distinction in shear. So either the fingers got larger... so you have to go back to the smaller fingers. We have to figure out what they were back then. We don't know, so you just use eggs as the model. Or the fingers are made the same, but the eggs are smaller. So you have to raise the level of the eggs to bring up to the size of the fingers.
When did Tzlach live?
I don't know exact time. Maybe the 1800s, I think. 1700s, maybe, I don't know. So he says, you know what happened? It must be as follows. The Yadua, he writes, this is fascinating. We know that the generations go on and get smaller and further from Har Sinai, further from Moshe Benu. It's impossible that our thumbs were gadol yoser me'agadolim shahayu b'yimei chach me'shas. Since we, he's referring to, the klal is that we got further beruchnius, we got smaller beruchnius, so he thinks, therefore, it's impossible, he says, that our fingers got larger. Because we were getting smaller. We got smaller spiritually, so we couldn't have gotten smaller physically. So he therefore says it must be, I'm not sure that's the jump he makes though. He thinks there's somehow a connection. That's his raya. Not much of a raya. We'll see if some reject that. Therefore it must be that the betim, the eggs, have changed size. The eggs shrunk. So therefore what you do is you either figure out your fingers or you take the size of an egg and double it. That's what he concludes. This is the reason why we have the idea of doubling shirim. Take an egg and you double it. So that means, I'll say that if you take an egg, and let's say you assume a half a egg is a kezias, which is what we said before, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is half an egg. Half an egg of nowadays is really half of what it really should be. So you have to double. So what you really need is a full egg. A kebeta is really a kezias bisman hazeh. You follow with me on that, the math? Fine. You had a question on that, Ezra?
Yeah, I just had to know it's double.
Because the amount is, when using his fingers and the eggs of his time, it was half the size. The eggs were half the size. So in order to get to the finger size, eggs were doubled to equal the finger size.
Well, okay.
How does that go with what you said before, Rav Asher Weiss and Chazon
Yehuda? Right, so...
they don't agree with that.
They disagree. They're right. He don't... the Noda Behuda is correct that the sizes have changed, but they don't care that the sizes have changed. We don't care what happened back then. We care about right now. Right now, the olive is the size of an olive. We go based on what we're able to see. We don't try to figure out what happened back then. So therefore they say, use the olive of right now and that's good enough. But the Tzlach felt that was incorrect. And he thought, no, we're trying to figure out what happened back then. And the eggs must have shrunk.
How come sometimes we go back to the shear that what was, and sometimes we don't? For example, it's like by when you pigeon a ben, 5 slon. So there we say it's the amount of silver.
Mm-hmm.
What was then to what is now, could you have to have the same amount. And yet you find, let's say, by maxes a shekel, then it's just, whatever is maxes a shekel, it doesn't make a difference what a maxes a shekel was.
No,
then it goes according to what we have now.
Pidyon HaBen also, by the way. Pidyon HaBen also is based on now. We do 5 slon, but based on the weight of silver, Bizman HaZeh. It changes over time.
But it's a weight of silver, not comparing to what was. You need a certain amount of silver.
Correct.
So what are we basing that on? What was then the amount of silver that...
The weight was the same. The weight doesn't change. It's the value that changed. Weight can't change. Value can change.
Right.
So I don't know.
So sometimes we go where...
I hear what you're saying. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, so that's all the Tzlach. The Tzlach says that it has changed in time, that the eggs changed, but it's impossible that a person's size has changed. That's the Tzlach's assumption. Now, Rav Moshe has an interesting tshuva. He's trying to figure out what exactly is an Amma. Now, an Amma is a whole other discussion. There's a Rashi in Erevin that says an Amma is the elbow to the top of the middle finger. Each of the fingers have a different name to it. The middle finger is called an Amma because that's how you measure an Amma from here to there. Now, even though that's the case, all the Achronim use other measurements of fingers and Tfachim to figure out what an Amma is as well. So in this discussion, Rav Moshe writes as follows. He says he doesn't know why there's such a big machlokas of what the size of an Amma is, because you just take the average person and take his finger of the average person and you figure it out very simply. And based on his calculation, he says it's very simple. It's a 21 1/4 inches. 21.25 inches is an Amma. Fine. But in this discussion, he throws out that it's very possible that the size of fingers have changed over time. While the Note of Yehuda assumed that's impossible, that the people have changed their fingers, their length, their heights have changed, but Moshe says it's possible that they did change. And maybe the Note of Yehuda went wrong. Maybe the Note of Yehuda is incorrect. The egg stayed the same size, but the fingers of people got bigger or smaller. They changed in some direction. Who says they have to stay the same? I think someone told me, I don't know how this is proved exactly, but that Paro was referred to as a very large man. Paro of Mitzrayim, many Paros, but the Paro during the times of Yetzias Mitzrayim was very, very large, based on certain... But in actuality, he was very small. He was short, very, very short. So you see from there that what was considered big back then is certainly not considered big nowadays. And I think based on other proofs that now people are much taller than they used to be. I think I've heard that before. I never looked into this. But either way, it's a possibility, says Rav Moshe, that people have changed in size. The size of the fingers may have gotten smaller, maybe they got bigger. It's not so true necessarily that Note Yehuda was correct. So maybe his doubling up of the egg was incorrect. Maybe you should use the actual average of an egg.
Right, because even in this past 100 years, because basketball players 100 years ago were much shorter than they are today.
It's true, right. I'm not sure that's a riot, just because it could be the people who were tall back then weren't athletic. They weren't trained. Nowadays, they're more athletic. I don't know. I'm not sure if that's a riot.
Can we just know from Metzias because the papyrus were embalmed? Aren't they still out there?
Yeah, you probably can. No one, to my understanding, did any of the research. None of the postcom did that research. But I don't know. That's what someone told me a few years ago. I never looked into it myself. As a trustworthy person, I took his word for it.
They've x-rayed.
But
we know the size of their bones.
Right, so I think, and he was a small person, but there are proofs from the Midrashim that he was considered tall. So it certainly could have changed, but that's what Moshe says. That again, so while the Note of Yehuda thought the size of people stayed the same, it's the eggs that shrunk, and Moshe thought it's possible that people have actually changed in size. And maybe using actual egg would be sufficient to figure out a kazayas. Okay. Now, and there's this beautiful sefer here called Me'ozanei Tzedek of David Bronfield. He writes about the different discussions of Kazayas, and he quotes from a Talmud of the Tzlach, the Shailos of Tshuvos of the Tshuva Me'ava. And he apparently writes that the Tzlach's calculation was incorrect because the Tzlach was using his own thumb. So what? Apparently, the Tzlach was a very large person. So his thumbs were very large. So he got to double the amount. That doesn't mean his thumbs were as double the size of any of ours, because even if it's up, you know, if it's larger a little bit, by multiplying it 2 times 2 times 2.7, we'll get to a double the amount. So it could be only like a quarter of an inch bigger, and it could still amount to a double the size. So as opposed to others, we're using an average person. They took an average height of someone, an average finger width, and coming to that calculation, you actually do get to the proper size of an actual egg. You don't have to double the size of an egg.
How do you get to a proper size within one?
He's using an egg. Using an egg. The Tzlach's problem was that he measured his own thumbs, and that thumb was double the size of an egg. He says that apparently the Tzlach was a larger individual, and his thumbs were created a much larger sphere, but that was incorrect. The Aruch HaShulchan says the problem was that where the Tzlach lived, they had very small eggs. It wasn't the eggs that we have in the supermarket. He was using the wrong eggs. His thumb size was completely correct, but his eggs were too small. You have to take the average egg in the world. What he was using where he lived in Europe was not the same eggs that they had in the times of the Mishnayos. But you could have found them somewhere else in the world. Just where he lived, they happened to be very small. But where we live now in America, the eggs that we're having are very average size and can get to the proper conclusion. Okay, so these are a few reasons why we perhaps would reject the opinion of the Noda Behuda.
Yeah, how about you have large, medium, large, and extra large? You have three size eggs.
Exactly. So you take the average size, and then the medium size, and that's going to be considered the egg. So what do you do, Lamaisa? So we have, again, just to review for a second, you could use an actual olive, according to the Rav Asher Weiss and Chazon Ish, an actual olive. You could take an actual egg and do water displacement. Take either half of that or a third of that, or you could take an egg and then double that size, or really just a full egg. I mean, no, don't half it and double it. Just take a full egg, according to Tzlach, a full egg will be considered the Bizman Hazeh Shir Kazai. So those are the four shitas. An olive, half an egg, a third of an egg, or a full egg. Those are the four different shitas. How do we paskin l'maisa? So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, those who have it in front of you, it's kedai to see inside. If we go through, I think it's a good piece to read together. This is Mishnah Berurah, Simen Tuf Pei Vav, Sif Katan Aleph. I love anyone who's getting a Mishnah Berurah, wait for those. It's Chelek Hei. Chelek Hei, Simen Tuf Pei Vav. No, Chelek Hei is a popular one. Maybe the Deer Shoe has it. You know, you have it, yeah.
She must. What?
Simen Tuf Pei Vav. It's a third, the third page, yeah. Okay. Fine. So if you open up the Simon Tov Pei Vav.
The third page in the sheet.
Yeah, third page, exact. Third page in the sheet, right there in the middle, Mishnah Berurah. It's Simon Tov Pei Vav, Sif Katan Aleph. Okay. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch that says, Dehavi Kichati Beta. The shear of an olive is half a beta, a beinonis, an average size beta, im klipasa, including the shell. V'dasa rabam, the kezayis hu kishlish kebeta, it's only a third of a beta, v'ayin b'magid evram, u'be'agra mashkasa b'ze. Half versus a third. Uli nindina, what's the bottom line, what's the sak? B'mitzvah daraisa, kigon b'mitzvah asei dachias matzah, that first bite we have leil seder night, perhaps leil sheni as well. So that's a mitzvah d'raisa, yesh lahachmir, yishmi machmir, ulechol al kopanim kechatzi beta. You should have half an egg, like the Shulchan Aruch assumes. Vimlo shehuchol, if he's sick though, v'kosh lo lechol kechatzi beta, if you can't have that, yachol lismoch al haramam, you could have a third. And we would add, according to the Rav Asher Weiss and Chazon Ish, you could have even an actual olive, much smaller than that, if a person's sick. Uleinin marer, ukiya gavna, Shudir Rabbanon. Any mitzvah that's only midir Rabbanon, yesh lismoch b'di'eved imachol kishlish kebeitzim. He still says lechachili should still have a half an egg for a maror, but since it's Rabbanon, there's who to rely on to only have a third of a maror. Ach lechachila kevin shetzarach levarach al hamaror. Since you have to say a bracha about alchilas maror, near de'ein lahakil b'zeh, you shouldn't be so mekel im lo shu adam chalish, unless he's very very weak. So too, he writes by maror, even though maror is only midir banam, since we say the bracha al achilas maror, I don't want to get involved why that is, based in a rush, but you should really have a higher level kazayis of a half, but if you're weak, it's enough to have just a third of Mara as well. A third of a Kazayas for Mara. Ulein Birkas Amazon Shishiru Medivre Sofer Mbekazayas. Benching you require Kazayas. Midivre Sofer. Midiraisa, all you need to do is be Saveya. But they required Midivre Sofer a Shir Kazayas. Vichain Leinen Birkas Achrona. Brach Achrona. Savik Brachos Lakel. We should be Makel. Velo Yivarch Achiyada Shachel Kachati Beza. You shouldn't be Makel in the Brachos. You should be Makel. Don't say Brach until you know for sure you had a half. Ulechachila. It's best, nachon, shlizar, shalo, yachnis, atma, besafik, brachos. Don't get yourself involved in a doubt. V'yochel kechatzi beitza, opachos, harbe, mishlish beitza. Either you eat a lot more than half a beitza, or less than a third. You don't want to get in that middle zone of above a third, below a half, then you're not really sure if you have to say bracha. Either have below a third, where there's definitely no bracha, or have above a half, where the vade is a bracha. That's where a person should try to get himself to be. He writes near the nachon lechachilo sheyochal kebeitza pas demlohachi yesh chashash bracha levatala al bracha shebirch mitchila al atila leizim poskim fine different point. Now vatanach shalinyanenu. Let's go back to our point of brachas when it comes to matzah, the shir of matzah. We said you really should have a half a beitza for matzah. Da demasher kosum machaber kezayis kechatzi beitza. That which the Shulchan Aruch paskin to half a beitza lav milsa psikasa hibizvanenu. May not be so clear in our times. The Yesh Me'achronim, there are those who say that includes the Tzlach, Shochichu, they prove the Beitim HaMetzuyim Bizmanenu, the eggs that we find in our supermarkets, Niskatnu Harbe, have gotten much smaller than they used to be, Alemechza, to half the size of what they used to be, Mekfish Ayubiyom HaKadmonim, from what they were beforehand, Shebehem Shiru HaChacham, that the Chacham used the old eggs as their model, have now shrunk half. Ulufize, according to this, says the Mishnah Berurah, according to the world of the Noda Behuda Tzlach, b'chol makom she'ashir hu kechatzi beita, wherever you need a half a beita, like by matzah, tzarech l'shayer b'kabeita, you have to use a full kabeita now because it shrunk. Bizmanenu. So that's what he says. V'ayim b'shayer tshuva she'echriyo she'esh l'chalik. There's room to distinguish. So he quotes as a yesh omerim that some say, namely the Noda Behuda, that you should really double the sizes up nowadays. So that means whatever, to have a full egg. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah says.
But you need two kazayas, right, though?
Oh, so very simple. The issue of two kazayasim, we're going to discuss Mirat Hashem next week, next shir, is going to be on this topic of the need for two kazayasim. Basically, what it comes out to is the issue if you see two different brachas on matzah. You say hamoti lechem, and you say al achias matzah. And because of the two brachas, that might require two different kazesim. That's a whole other discussion. But that two kazesim, according to pretty much everyone, is limited to only the mevarach, the person himself who's making the brachas, not to anybody else. So we're going to discuss that next week. We're going to discuss that next week, though. We'll keep you guys saying. We'll discuss that next week. That's a whole it's a whole long shir about this. It's a very nice lamda shashir. Comes down the halacha ma'isa. But let's forget two kazesim right now. Because even those who require two kazesim, there's a shittas of Moshe. It's a chumrah to have two kazesim. So you can rely on the smaller kazai shir of a third, which will end up being the larger, normal kazai shir. Exactly, something like that, exactly. But it might even be really a half, because he might be Mekel. There are a few ways how to measure a half. What exactly is a half a kebeta? What is a half a beta? So the big machlokas, Rav Noah, Chazanish, Rav Moshe, there's a whole range. So taking the small shear of what a kazais is, whatever that small shear is, a third, but using Rav Noah's shearim, is very small. Taking two of those ends up equaling a large shear of a normal kazais. So we'll get to that next week about figuring out that shear, yeah.
With the water displacement, that's good with a liquid. How do you interpret that to a solid?
So the way they do it, explains that in this sefer how he actually did the experiments of the different displacement method. He crushed matzah or any other solid, and you have to somehow wrap it in some waterproof.
Yesterday.
Exactly.
We did that yesterday.
You used saran wrap.
Saran wrap.
Right.
We just closed it up, and we dropped it in. You see how much water goes up on the measuring cup.
Right. Uh-huh. So you basically crush it very well, and then you somehow, you know, envelop it in some type of waterproof.
That also could be, you know, say how much do you crush your matzah? You can it could be made into like flour.
Correct. That's you want to get it to
and
get rid of,
and then you're using much more matzah.
Right. You want to get rid of all the air spaces. You want to get it completely just solids only. Yeah, Mark.
Do we have an opinion also that even though the size of kibbeza has changed over time? Yeah, we just go along with the size of the kibbeza today.
Yeah, that's what we saw in the beginning. That's what the Chazanish said, and the Rav Asher Weiss says. You could use take an actual olive. Take an actual olive, and it's very small. It's only 0.2 fluid ounces, very, very small. And that could be good enough.
So what are we supposed to do, though?
So let's get to Lamaisa. What are you supposed to do? So, let's talk tachlis here for now.
So then, it also has to do with bracha
achrona,
too.
It relates to a lot of different halachas. A lot of different halachas. Right. So he goes, it's a very nice sefer. I would recommend if you want. It's great reading. After I went through this presentation, this should be a very easy read in this sefer here. It's very nice. English, very nice. I highly recommend it. It's good to have. Each year I try to review this myself to have it clear. So Lemaisa, what do you do? So here in this another sefer, this is by Rav Yisrael Pinchas Badner, also a very nice book. This is unique to matzah and Pesach, Dalakos, Osmar. This is one all kazesim throughout the year. He goes through this whole discussion, not as thorough of the sugya as he does here in the Masei Tzedek, but his goal here is to show in general, when it comes to bracha achronos, what's considered kazais. He goes through like olive sizes, pickles. We used to have this game in my house.
It's very machmir.
It could be. Yeah, I never really.
In other words, he's very small shiurim, then you have
to say, bro, it could be. So we used to do this game with my kids. We haven't done this in a while. We used to like say, okay, how many jelly beans does it take to get a kazayas? So they'd guess. So like they have like small jelly beans. You need 37 mini jelly beans to get to a kazayas, 30 small ones, and 12 regular ones to get to a kazayas. How many goals? How many jellyfish? You need 6 jellyfish. So he goes through really a lot of examples. What's the kazayas here? How much of a banana? How much of a pickle?
Very little.
So whatever the shiurmar. So at the end here, then he gets into a special section on Pesach. So he says, which is pretty much accepted by I think most poskim, not having to weigh everything, not having to measure everything out. Very simply, when it comes to the different size matzahs, and he says there are 3 types of matzahs that you find. And he says, when it comes to the thinnest amount, which is the charedim, it could be others are also that small. I happen to love the charedim one. The thin matzahs are, and then the other ones are medium size and they're thick matzahs. So the thin matzahs, he says, around 53%. Okay. Or a little bit more than half. A little bit more than half is one kazayas. Exactly.
So that means the motzi, which in case of a person making the seder, would have to be eat a little bit more than a whole one in order to, to be...
Exactly. So we're going to discuss it. If you're back next week, we have a discussion about how the Baal Bais is able to do that. It should really be half from the top one and half from the middle one. That's really how you should accomplish it. But it's very, very hard to do that. Then you could rely on a smaller sheet to have a kazayas to be yotze these 2 kazayasim that you need. Because the requirement of 2 kazayasim is really a chumrah. So you can rely on a small sheet of kazayas, which could be a quarter from the top, a quarter from the bottom, which will amount to a total of 1/2 a matzah. Which means everyone's really at the table eating the same amount. Everyone could take wherever they get their half a matzah from, but the Baal Bais who's making the bracha needs to take a quarter from the top, a quarter from the middle. But still, even Rav Moshe agrees, Mikar Din, you should really have half a matzah from the top, half a matzah from the bottom. But I understand a person's stomach could be very sensitive, certainly by the second night. Maybe the first night you want to be machmir, the second night maybe you don't want to be machmir. It depends on the person, but we're going to discuss that in greater detail next week. But when it comes to the thin matzah, according to what he says, is half a matzah, a little bit more than half a matzah of a thin matzah, is going to get you to that kazayas.
You're talking about hand matzah?
Hand matzah, exactly. Hand matzah. And when it comes to medium matzah, it's really hard to know. 41%. You know, if I were having a medium size, I would do half a matzah also for that.
So, yeah. We take off pieces and we complete it from another matzah.
Correct.
But the Baal Bais has to have half from the actual middle matzah, what's left over. So you have to have...
Very good. So we're going to discuss that next week. Practically, how does everybody take from the Seder plate? 100, that's a great... Rav Moshe talks about this, Rav Shlomo Zalman talks about that. We're going to discuss that next week. Right now we're focused on what exactly is a shir kazayas, where it comes from, that will be next week's discussion. Now in terms of medium matzah, yeah.
And we have to get into the afikoman as well.
Exactly. I'm not going to discuss that today, but you should look here, buy one of these svarim if you want to get an idea. I could even mention it quickly to you, but it's not going to, it's going to go in one ear, go out the other. But it's just for a medium matzah, 41%, and for a thick matzah, 35%. It's hard to really measure these things. You have to estimate. Don't make yourself crazy, and don't eat too much to get a stomach ache, but that's the amount, 53, 41, 35%.
I don't know what's thin and what's thick and what's medium.
You know matzah. Yeah, yeah.
The Svardim have matzahs that are very...
Yeah, this is not Svardim. Svardim have a different... They have to use a different measurement. Because those are... We're talking about where the wafer types that Ashkenazim use. The Charedim are thin. I don't know the difference between medium and thick, though. I've only seen thick versus thin. It could be I'm missing one level there.
In the
But
does it make a difference if the guy, the person who made the bracha, does that affect you if he doesn't finish the
it's a very good question. I don't think it affects you, though. As long as he says a bracha and you're yotze with him, chances are he'll probably have, according to some opinion, hopefully have at least the size of an olive. We hope. But who knows?
Well, it's old man, usually. It's the grandfather,
right.
The father.
Right.
You know.
Why can't you say, like, it's by Kiddush?
Right.
Why can't you say, just like by Kiddush, the one who's making the bracha doesn't have to drink the whole of his. If he's doing yotzi other people, it's a combination.
Right.
So then you can say the same thing by man.
It's a different din. When coming to Kiddush, it's a different din. You don't have to have that shear. It's not ma'akev, the shear, for Kiddush as much. It's strongly recommended. But when it comes to matzah, you don't get the mitzvah if you don't get the shear. But I think you're still fine. It's a good question. I think so.
Yeah. According to that, I just wonder, when we make a motzi of bread, is there some idea that the person is saying a motzi should have a piece from this bread and that one?
No, motzi, when regular motzi, whatever you say a motzi on, you say a bracha on that piece of bread, you eat a piece of bread from that motzi, that piece of bread that you're taking from. But we'll see next week the different issue when it comes to matzah, since there are two different brachas on two different pieces of matzah. That's the source of requiring two kezesim, at least for the babayis. Okay, I guess we'll stop here for now.